Good evening and welcome to Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY Community Public Radio. I'm Sheila White, your host this evening. Tonight, we'll be talking about arts funding with my guest, Laura Kaplis, who has served on a number of culture and arts boards in the Lehigh Valley. Welcome, Laura.
Thank you.
Laura, tell us a bit about your background in service to boards of local arts and cultural organizations.
Well, I've worked in several facets of board leadership. One organization was the Southside Film Festival, which is now celebrating its 10th anniversary year, and they use film as a way to create community.
Well, that's excellent. It's a great organization in the Lehigh Valley, and we have a lot of arts organizations and cultural organizations in the Lehigh Valley that I hope might get some good information from our program tonight, as well as boards who might be serving for these organizations or any other volunteers who might need to know a little bit about arts funding and how it works. So thanks for joining me tonight, Laura.
Thank you.
Part of this evening's Lehigh Valley Art Salon is to share some insight about the arts funding from a national perspective, and then we'll work it into the state and then the local perspective as well. Soon after the last presidential election, Robert Lynch, who is the president and CEO of the Americans for the Arts, wrote an article in the Huffington Post about the four-year cycle of arts funding. With every national election, the arts funding policy gets what he calls a fiscal makeover. And that's with every new policymaker that has been elected. In his article, Mr. Lynch states, quote, roughly 10% of the $61 billion total budgets of the nonprofit arts in America comes from government, mostly local, then state government, and finally federal sources. This is a tiny portion of the whole, and it is actually a lot smaller than many people, including many politicians, think. This 10% is indeed a very small amount compared to the 30% that the private sector contributes, mostly individuals, and the 60% that comes from earned, as in ticket revenue or sales revenue, and investment income, mostly from endowments. While it may be a tiny fraction of an arts organization's budget, this humble government investment leverages private and earned revenue that supports an entire industry and employs millions of citizens. This investment supports those activities that make our communities vibrant. The arts and cultural assets are those activities and places that encourage business and population growth. Mr. Lynch also points out in his article, quote, under Presidents Clinton, Bush, and Obama, we began to see the arts engaged more and more as part of the solution to America's social problems, youth at risk, crime reduction, healing of wounded warriors, and rebuilding of challenged communities. And agencies beyond the arts and humanities like housing and urban development, justice, transportation, commerce, Department of Education, and the Defense Department slowly began to become partners in using the power of the arts to make America not only a more beautiful, but also a better place. And that's an end quote from Mr. Lynch. The Americans for the Arts has gathered evidence that the $61 billion nonprofit arts industry and the $74 billion related audience spending, that means money spent on dinner, hotels, parking, and yes, even the babysitter, this money creates an economic impact of $135 billion. In the Lehigh Valley, our slice of that economic impact has been determined to generate roughly more than $8.2 million and supports 7,114 full-time jobs as of data collected in 2010. Many of our listeners know the value of the arts, but it may be beneficial to list some of them here for our consideration. First, the arts attract visitors. Tourism dollars brought into the community for an art event will have an indirect multiplier effect on the local economy, as in shopping in surrounding retail stores, restaurants, and other local businesses. Secondly, the arts attract residents and businesses. This is especially true for attracting highly skilled, high-wage residents who will have a larger economic impact. The presence of the arts, for example, provides an improved image of an area and may work to enhance the impact of tax incentives for business location decisions. And third, the arts attract investments. For example, people might be more inclined to buy property in an area if they feel it is, quote, up and coming, end quote, because of the presence of the arts. Laura, from your experience and perspective, would you agree that some of the benefits of the arts I just described are realized in our own community?
Sure. I see some examples, just a couple. If you experience a First Friday in South Bethlehem, you'll hear people in the galleries talking about what a great place Bethlehem is to live, or a place they want to live if they're from outside the area, just because of the creativity and revitalization that they see going on. Or during the Southside Film Festival, visiting filmmakers have made decisions to return to the area to produce some of their own works here, shoot films. They've even gone so far as to call Bethlehem their second home, maybe even making the decision someday to move here permanently.
Well, that's amazing. How can arts leaders of local arts organizations help to frame the argument for continued or increased support from our local or state or even federal governments?
Well, I was talking with a friend today from a local arts organization, and she said that, you know, arts organizations around here are doing so much more with less funding than in previous years, and they've had to get really creative with their funding. So making people understand that we are getting government support, but we're working really hard to get private sector and individual funding, that's something I think is a really important story to tell. Making sure your project or your program is fulfilling the needs in the community, that's something else that you need to make sure people know.
Mm-hmm. So I guess it's also a story gathering of your mission and how your mission serves the community. And it's almost like a cycle of life, if you would. It's providing documentation and evidence of the impact of what you as an arts organization are doing in service to the community, but then to fulfill that mission back into this is how we are for the greater good and mm-hmm. how we exist because of the investment that we get from tax dollars and from government support.
Yeah, it's a great way to put it. I agree. I think too, it's more than just counting the number of heads that walk in the door, and it's more than just counting the number of clicks your video might get on YouTube. It's really finding ways to measure that engagement with your audiences or your patrons. And that's a challenge, I think, for a lot of organizations across the country.
I think one of the phrases that I've heard a lot of arts administrators trying to talk about, like you were saying, it's more than just butts and seats. It's mm-hmm. intrinsic value. It's investment in or long-term investment in our community, whether it's with our youth or just with the traditions that are almost the cultural signatures that describe Allentown, Bethlehem, Easton. It's what makes this a thriving community that people really do want to live and raise their kids and go to work and enjoy the assets in their own backyard type
mm-hmm.
of thing.
Yeah.
I think also what we're talking about here is a slightly or maybe a difference between advocacy with really having a conversation with our elected officials, whether mm-hmm. it's local, state, or even on the federal level with state senators or congressmen. The our elected officials who are voting on policy that support the future investment in the arts, whether it's a program, the budget for the National Endowment for the Arts, the budget for the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts, and how those funds trickle then into our local community. But it's also about other kinds of policies, whether it's can someone get a tax credit for a donation? It's all these things. This is advocacy. Different from lobbying.
Mm-hmm.
And how is lobbying just that little level a little bit further?
Lobbying is where you're contacting your legislator to actually influence legislation. Mm-hmm. And it's something that nonprofits and arts organizations included should be doing. You can only do it to a certain extent, according to the IRS. Mm-hmm. But it's something you should look into if there are issues where you can actually try to influence a piece of legislation.
Through information.
Yeah.
And in lobbying, I think where it can get into dicey areas for nonprofits
yeah.
is if we're influencing with campaign dollars, which is a no-no for
right.
a nonprofit organization.
Nope,
we cannot do that. But we can inform, and that's where all of the information and the documentation comes by talking about the impact of how this tiny investment really reaped huge amounts of benefits for our community and the citizens therein. So when we're talking about the federal dollars, let's take it to a state level here. In the Pennsylvania Citizens of the Arts, they've offered a couple of things that I think our listeners might like to know today. And here are line items for the grants that the arts and the Council on the Arts represent. It's only, get this, folks, 0.033% of the overall Pennsylvania state budget that is given to arts funding. And the second thing that would be perhaps interesting for our listeners is that Pennsylvania ranks 23rd nationally in per capita arts spending. Now, per capita amounts represent the total dollar figure divided by the total state population. So that means on an annual basis, the state of Pennsylvania spends 71 cents per person. And five of the six states that border Pennsylvania rank higher nationally. So Maryland, that spends annually $2.24 per person, they rank fifth nationally of all the states that supply arts funding to their citizens. Sixth behind them is New York with $2.04 per person. Next is seventh, New Jersey, and they spend $1.85 per capita. And then eighth, so it's five, six, seventh, and eighth. Eighth is Delaware that spends just a cent less than New Jersey, $1.84. Dropping down to that is Ohio at 19th, and that's at 83 cents per person. So the only state that borders Pennsylvania and ranks lower in per capita spending on the arts is West Virginia with 62 cents per capita spending. So in the greater scheme of things, we're talking a pittance here, but yet mm-hmm. it means so, so very much. And I think what one of the things that we're trying to talk about here is community value. And as we said before, it's so much more of a value than just the dollars and the cents. Can you tell us a little bit about what value might mean in our community awareness? For instance, you know, the value of pride, the value of citizenship, the value of people who are engaged in their community tend to also vote more or tend to volunteer more or be a part and want to contribute their time as much as their witness, so to speak. We also know that there's some evidence that people who participate in the arts as students tend to graduate higher graduation rates. They also tend to, like I said before, vote more. They are much more part of a vibrant civic dialogue. They'll be researching issues beyond just the arts. They'll be researching education issues, safety issues, water quality and air issues. So it's those types of engagements that are all very intricately interconnected in our web of civil discourse. We're going to be talking about a little bit more of advocacy, but for now, Steve, we're going to be moving on to a quick break if we can. This is the Lehigh Valley Art Salon on WDIY Community Public Radio. I'm Sheila White, your host for this evening, and I'm talking with the very generous Laura Kaplis, who's generously giving us her time about arts funding. And again, we're going to take a short break just for a few messages. Stay tuned.
WDIY is pleased to partner with the Zollner Arts Center featuring the Lehigh University Choir, Dolce, and Glee Club, presenting Hot Dates on Friday, March 22nd and Saturday, March 23rd at 8 p.m. For information, 610-758-2787 or zollnerartcenter.org. For program support on WDIY, we thank Monarch Dance Company and the Lehigh Valley Dance Exchange, presenting Spring Up, a concert featuring established artists from New York, Pittsburgh, and the Lehigh Valley, including Nicholas Leichter, Anne Maria Mazzini, and Tabitha Robinson Scott, Friday, March 22nd, 7:30 p.m. at Northampton Community College. Supported in part by the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts via a PPA grant administered through the Lehigh Valley Arts Council. For tickets, lvdanceexchange.org.
And we're back on WDIY Lehigh Valley Arts, the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. My name is Sheila White, and I'm joined in the studio by Laura Kaplis. So, Laura, even though these government grants are quite small in comparison to the bigger budget of life as we know it, they're still highly competitive and worth spending hundreds of hours in manpower dedicated to filling the grant applications. Laura, from your experience in arts organizations and from that perspective, what does winning a grant from the National Endowment for the Arts mean?
Well, there's such prestige to receiving a grant from the NEA, and it's also like a stamp of credibility for your project. For example, Bethlehem's Touchstone Theater has consistently received NEA grants for their projects throughout the years. And they've been selected, this means they've been selected by their peers out of the national landscape as worthy of this funding. It's a big deal.
Mm-hmm. And you said their peers. What does that mean?
From what I understand, it's a peer review process. So what the director of Touchstone actually told me today was that you're not being evaluated by a bunch of government employees behind closed doors. It's a peer group looking at your work. Mm-hmm. So you're being recognized by people in your field.
So I can also say, it, from a peer perspective, it's also quite an honor to be on this reading panel.
Absolutely.
So if local arts organizations that are grantees ring you up on the phone and say, hey, would you be on a reading panel? You know that among peers, you are considered, you know, top of the knowledge base. So you can be a better judge of what makes the potential impact of one proposal a little bit more or greater than another.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. I know you spent a significant amount of time volunteering as a grant reader. Can you share us a little bit of what that experience is? Because it seems so mysterious to some new grant writers.
Sure. The best experience in grant proposal reviewing is when the project or program is a good fit with the funding guidelines. It needs to be established up front, that fit. I can tell when an organization has made a connection or when they've attended a grant writing workshop. You can really, that comes through from the cover letter, through the narrative, and the budget. The best grant proposals are succinct. They're to the point. What I like seeing, too, is a success story about the program's outcomes. So that's very important. Not to romance it so much, but to just tell a solid success story.
So is evaluation important in terms of telling a grantee how you're going to evaluate your project for success in the proposal?
I think so, yes.
Mm-hmm.
What your metrics are, you need to explain that within the grant proposal so you know what you're working toward.
Mm-hmm. So just off the cuff, I'm just wondering, in any grant proposal, has there ever been an organization or an artist who's written a proposal that even allows failure could be an option, but we want to try and experiment and hopefully draw the community together in this type of a dialogue through these types of experiences?
I've never seen a proposal where someone has said failure might be an option, but I do think that there are people who take risks, organizations who take risks, and they might say, we are taking this risk. We want your confidence in us. We want your investment in the project.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a very compelling, it can be made into a very compelling proposal.
And I think if not in the arts, to take the risk to evolve our community, you know, where else would we find these things? And I think the risks of opening up dialogue or trying to approach very delicate subject matters in a community is something that could also really spur on some successful grant proposals. And I'll take the Touchstone National Endowment for the Arts as a for instance. I think they got an award for a lot of their community written pieces.
Yes, yes. That's how it's been through the years. Their community engagement pieces have been supported by the NEA.
Mm, excellent.
If I may, I had a couple other things to say about what I like to see in grant proposals.
Excellent.
And one of them is that the organization shows a diversity of funding sources and not just a reliance on one foundation or one major donor or one corporation. I think that's really important. But the most important is that there's a realistic, detailed, clear, and honest budget that balances.
Hmm.
And
ooh, those
we've
are
been
big
talking
words.
About that, yeah.
Honest and balanced. That should be tattooed on my forehead, I think. Anything else you wanted to contribute to that? Okay. I wanted to also alert our listeners that there are some government grants available in our area. The Lehigh Valley Arts Council facilitates two grant programs. The Pennsylvania Partners in the Arts is a partnership between local organizations and the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts. This grant program re-grants state funds to support a wide variety of local and community arts activities and has demonstrated enormous success in achieving the Pennsylvania Council on the Arts mission. The Pennsylvania Partners in the Arts in the 2013-2014 project stream will provide grants of up to $2,500 to eligible individuals, community groups, and nonprofit organizations to conduct arts projects which have a significant public component. As our region's partner in this process, the Lehigh Valley Arts Council has accepted grant requests from as many as 60 project applicants in a year. In the most recent fiscal year, the Lehigh Valley Arts Council awarded grants to 24 projects in our community. That's Lehigh Valley-wide. Laura, do you have any tips for our listeners for submitting a grant application with greater chances of success in addition to the ones that you've listed before? Like, when you say concise narrative, what does that mean?
It means to tell the story in a way that I'm in a way that doesn't lose the reader. In other words, you could go on for pages with a story about your organization, but really consider your audience and what are they doing? Are they at a desk? Are they, you know, what are they doing while they're reading your proposal? And what are they going to be turned on by? And it's probably not going to be a long story.
Well, and if you consider they're reading 60 applications, right, you want to try
more
to catch their
exactly
eye and be memorable.
Yes.
So scented proposals, probably not a good idea.
I've never seen that done.
I just give away my trade secrets there.
There's your idea.
Well, there's one other thing that I wanted to tell our listeners, that the Lehigh Valley Arts Council grants all of the details and information about their grant cycles can be found on their website, which is lvartscouncil.org. Also, the Bethlehem Fine Arts Commission has a grant program that supports Bethlehem area activities that happen between June 1st of 2013, that's this June, through May 31st of 2014. That deadline is coming up soon. It's Friday, April 12th. And more information about that grant program is available on their website, bfac-lv.org/grants. We should note that the National Endowment for the Arts annual budget is about 2% of the total amount spent on nonprofits in the United States, and that it gets smaller and smaller as we've listed through the show as we get to the state and the local levels. But one rapidly growing opportunity for arts organizations is crowdfunding, and that's a platform such as Kickstarter and other Indiegogos, other website-based crowdfunding platforms. And Kickstarter alone expects to direct more funding to the arts in its third year of operation than the National Endowment for the Arts in its complete budget cycle. But that's a whole different show.
That's going to be a great conversation.
Big can of worms there. Yeah. So anyway, Laura, I want to thank you so much for your time.
Oh, and thanks for having me.
Well, the preparation you put into this. Grants and arts, it's one of those necessary evils that we do to keep the arts alive in our community and in our lives. And again, thank you for all the support that you've given all the arts organizations that you've served.
Thank you.
That's it for the Lehigh Valley Arts Salon. No doubt we'll be discussing following the cycle of government arts in our available, government arts grants available in our region. But we're here to say thank you for listening and keep an eye out for information about a new local arts grant that will be coming from the Eastern Pennsylvania Arts Alliance. Thanks, Steve Aronson, for engineering our show tonight. And again, thanks for listening.